I'm thrilled to announce we have a quorum. Thank you for making the phone calls. More people are even better. I call this meeting to order. I haven't changed my name yet. It's still Myron Fox. I'm still pleased to be your moderator and preside at this 2010 annual town meeting. Coffee and snacks are being provided by nobody. I'm going to give you my short version here because so we can get right to the meat of the meeting. Please turn off your cell phones. Please give your name and address each time you speak to assure a clear record. If you desire to be recognized, please just raise your card from your seat. All motions to amend must be delivered to me, the town clerk, and the staff at the viewgraph in writing before they are made to the hall. Please remember, no hissing, booing, whistling, clapping, or the like before, during, or after the time someone is speaking. Nobody may make a disrespectful comment, whether directed at a voter, speaker, or town official. Bathrooms are across the hall from the floor of the auditorium. Fire exits are from both rear doors and each side of the stage. And I'm done. Two announcements that the town clerk asked me to make. A special voter registration will be held on Wednesday, April 21, from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. at the office of the town clerk in the town hall at 322 Concord Road. This is 20 days prior to the special town election, which has been scheduled for Tuesday, May 11th, 2010. May 11th, 2010 is the special town election, which I presume the sole question on the ballot is the override? Yes, that's the ballot question. Reminder to voters. Registered voters must be physically present in the hall at town meeting to raise their card and cast their vote. No one may raise a card to cast the vote of another. Article 41, Tammy Dufault. If you don't speak into the mic, we don't get it on the record.
I'm very loud, so I don't have that problem.
Thank you.
Petitioner makes a motion to indefinitely postpone.
Move to indefinitely postpone. Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Dufault, would you care to?
I have no comment.
Okay. The Finance Committee in favor or against or no position on the motion to indefinitely postpone?
The Finance Committee supports
no position.
The indefinitely
postponement. I can't hear that.
The Finance Committee supports the indefinite postponement.
That supports the indefinite postponement?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. The Selectman?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Selectmen support the indefinite postponement.
Does anybody wish to be heard on whether or not we should indefinitely postpone this article, this motion, this thing on the view graph? Is it on the view graph? It isn't. It's a motion to indefinitely postpone Article 41. Anybody wish to speak? I see no one. All those in favor, raise your cards. All those opposed, any opponents? There aren't any. It's unanimous. Thank you. Article 42, Robert Abrams. Pinch hitting.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Robert Abrams, 24 Goodman's Hill Road. Pinch hitting for Dan DePompei, who was the petitioner for Article 42, couldn't be here this evening and asked me to help him out. What we have on the view graph is a resolution under Article 42 rather than a motion. And I'll read it briefly. Be it resolved that the selectmen direct the town staff currently assigned and funded in Article 27 of the April 2009 town meeting to produce a concept plan for the proposed rail trail, include as part of their assignment and investigation / study of alternative trail alignments for the specific purpose of avoiding conflicts with the Wetlands Protection Act, the Sudbury Wetlands Administration bylaw, and wildlife issues. Said alternate trail alignment studies will include but not be limited to those sections of the proposed trail identified by completed studies as having no meaningful mitigation alternatives. The town-funded Call of the Wild evaluation dated March 2009 with addendums. Other alignment issues may be studied at the direction of the town staff. Results of these alternate trail alignment studies shall be considered and presented to the town at the time of presentation of concept and or design plans. May I have the next slide, please? The resolution under the article does not ask for any money. Next, please. On the view graph, we have the Bruce Friedman Rail Trail. It has a total length of 24.7 miles. The rail trail right-of-way is owned by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The trail extends through eight towns. Building the trail through a town is an individual town initiative. The town would be responsible for 10% of the rail trail cost if it utilizes federal funds administered by the state. If federal funds are used, Mass Highway Design Standards apply, which means the trail has to be asphalt, has to be 10 feet wide, with a 2-foot minimum clearance on each side, and a 12-foot overhead clearance. Cost estimates from construction range from $800,000 to $1.5 million. Next slide, please. The Bruce Friedman Rail Trail in Sudbury. The wildlife study divided the trail into five sections. You can see them on the view graph. The wildlife study reports that mitigation will not restore the negative aspects of trail construction in sections 1 and 3. Section 1 is from Route 20 to Route 27. Section 3 is from Morse Road to Haines Road. The study recommended that alternate trail alignments be studied. Next slide, please. The trail alignment problem. The currently proposed trail route in Sudbury creates significant potential for negative impact on wildlife. The Bruce Friedman Rail Trail right-of-way passes directly through areas of major biological diversity and habitat. Three major wetlands, four riparian areas, one red maple swamp, and one active wildlife corridor. Next, please. The currently proposed trail route also has significant potential for conflict with state wetlands law, conflict with the Sudbury Wetlands Administration bylaw, conflict with the Sudbury Master Plan, conflict with historically significant businesses that are part of Sudbury's character, and conflict with existing traffic patterns by adding pedestrian intersections to heavily traveled roads. Next, please. Unless Sudbury itself funds the Bruce Friedman Rail Trail, it must be a multi-purpose roadway, 10 feet wide, asphalt paved, and a straight line right away. There are typically no exceptions to these design uniformity requirements. They are a condition of accepting federal aid through the State Department of Transportation. The state is not obligated to honor Sudbury bylaws and regulations on the state-owned right-of-way. The trail is gaining popular and political support in neighboring towns and at the state level, and something is likely to eventually happen in Sudbury. Sudbury does not have a defined workable plan or concept to address any of the potential conflicts associated with this rail trail. How can Sudbury avoid potential conflict with existing environmental laws, bylaws, wildlife guidelines, and its historical business community while continuing discussions for state and federal funding? The answer is to develop and document a concept plan that firmly establishes the town's standards for any continued discussion with the federal government, state government, or any other resource authority. We can utilize the town staff to identify potential conflicts currently proposed in the Bruce Freeman Rail Trail. And less than a minute, Mr. Moderator.
Is it okay if he goes on for less than a minute? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We can use our existing staff and funds that have been appropriated in order to study changes in the alignment as recommended by the wildlife study. Last slide, please. We can then present that concept plan to the town for discussion. When and if the town votes to proceed with any additional appropriation of funds or to proceed with any process to qualify for state or federal funds, it will be on the basis of a concept plan that minimizes environmental concept and protects the best interests of the community. We urge you to vote in favor of this resolution. And the reason that this has become a resolution rather than a motion under the article is because through Mr. DePompei's effort and the work that he's done in building consensus with many boards and committees in the town, including the selectmen, we believe that the selectmen, when they report, are in favor of this and intend to go forward in this manner. A resolution of the hall would help. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have an opinion?
The Finance Committee takes no position on this.
Selectman?
Yes, Mr. Moderator, thank you very much. I think, as everyone knows, the rail trail is basically on the back burner now for a variety of reasons. But going forward, town staff will continue to look at alternatives. And, in fact, the Board of Selectmen has taken a vote to affirm this position. So we support the resolution.
Thank you. I should have said that originally you saw a motion in your warrant. It has been turned into a non-binding resolution. I rule that it's within the four corners of the article, so it is acceptable. And just so that you know, I have one more committee to call on before I do. There's been a little bit of an inconsistency through the last 40 or so years on non-binding resolutions, but the majority of the time, which is what we're going to do here, and I'm going to try and keep doing it consistently, is that non-binding resolutions are not debatable, they're not amendable, and there's no head count, no matter how close the vote is. So what I will do is, after this last committee speaks, I will ask for a show of hands, and I will tell you whether it's overwhelmingly in favor, overwhelmingly against, or too close to call, and that will be the end of the non-binding resolution. Okay? The last committee, does the CPC have a recommendation on this non-binding resolution? It does not. Okay. It better be a point of order or a question of privilege. I can't hear you. Thank you very much. That's a good question. Yes, it would be a majority that either passes the resolution or defeats the resolution. And I will tell you if it's too close to call. Thank you for the question. Anybody else have a question of that nature about resolutions, since there seemed to be some confusion about it? I see none. All those in favor, including those who are standing, the resolution, as you see in the view graph, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes by well more than a majority. Thank you. We move on to Article 43, Tammy Dufault, petitioner.
Petitioner motions for indefinite postponement.
Hang on one second. The petitioner moved indefinite postponement on Article 43. Does that receive a second? It does. Tammy, would you like to say anything?
Just to add a couple of things here. The articles, as many of you may or may not know, are presented in the December time frame. And when this article was originally drafted and passed around in the November time frame, we were in a much different situation in town, that in that there were some discussions on how to staff or how to avoid some of the overtime we've been experiencing in the past few years. I created this article because I live on the north side of town, and I have been dissatisfied with the inconsistency of the Fire Station 3 being open and closed, depending upon overtime. And the intention of the article was to create a group to have a consultant come in for public safety reasons and see if there were some alternative approaches to Station 3. One of the key facts was that the overtime, as you know, is a big driver for why we're closing the station. Another one is that currently 70% of the calls, Sudbury services, are EMT. So there's a lot of different influences and a lot of different options if you look at how other Massachusetts communities staff their fire, and this was really the intention, was to explore those. Since that time, there has been a commitment to hire, I believe, 4 new firemen, and the town has allocated half of the overtime that they've allocated in previous years. So in discussions when I did my vetting with the selectmen, with the other articles as well, I advised them that given the fact that we've already made the commitment for the firemen, they have cut the overtime in half, that I would like to see how this plan works, and then we can look again next year. I do think that it's in the interest of the town that when services are provided, especially public safety services, that they be consistent. And if we can't provide them consistently, then we should explore other models in order to ensure services are rendered as we expect. So that's what I have.
Thank you very much. Does the Finance Committee wish to be heard on this motion to indefinitely postpone?
The Finance Committee supports indefinite postponement of this article.
Supports indefinite postponement. Mr. Keller for the Selectmen?
Yes, for the Selectmen. The Selectmen support the indefinite postponement. In response to the presentation by the petitioner, we want the community to know that we have the utmost respect and admiration for the fire chief and for the fire department. They provide invaluable services to the community. It is a well-run department, and we think it's well-run, especially by the chief in particular, who's well-respected throughout Massachusetts. And while we share the concerns about the occasional closure of Station 3 based on overtime provisions, it was the chief's own recommendation to hire additional firefighters, so that would not have to be the case. So we look forward to that in the coming year, and again, we are opposed to the, rather, we're in favor of the indefinite postponement.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone Article 43? I see none. All in favor, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? It looks like it's a unanimous vote. It is a unanimous vote, I so declare. A couple of announcements before we get to Article 44. Let's see. Firstly, without going through all the names, since I know you're anxious to get home, I'd just like to thank everyone from LS, from the town staff, from volunteers who helped make the running of this town meeting go a lot easier. Thank you all. But particularly, I'd like to thank all of you, particularly tonight, for coming out and exercising your right to legislate. Thank you very much. And the last item is that town council has pointed out to me an error in these proceedings. Under Article 2, Section 15 of our bylaws, town council will explain that error, followed by a motion by the Board of Selectmen to correct the error, which is what the bylaw calls for. I now recognize town council for an explanation of the error.
Mr. Moderator, during the voting on Article 4, the budget article, there was a question that was discussed regarding the difference in the override budget and the non-override budget, and it involved basically the enterprise funds. We also have, it's been brought to my attention that there's a situation with regard to the ambulance reserve for appropriation account that's in the same nature and needs to be corrected before we proceed. The situation when the ambulance funds come in, funds are held in an account called Reserve for Appropriation. In this case, if the override is defeated, that transfer should be reduced by $58,000. The actual mechanics, I think the finance director can address if necessary, but it is simply a housekeeping matter that requires a motion to amend that. It's not in the nature of consideration because of the reason you set forth, the bylaw provides for this type of vote.
Thank you very much. Mark, do you have that to put on the view graph? If you don't, let me read it in the meantime. Mr. Keller, do you care to move to amend the vote under Article 4 of this town meeting by inserting the following, quote, in the event that the override is defeated at the special town meeting, the amount to be transferred from the ambulance reserve for appropriation account to 200 public safety shall be reduced by $58,000, end quote.
I couldn't have read it better myself, so moved.
If I mentioned in that motion special town meeting, I meant to say special town election. Isn't that what you moved, Mr. Keller?
Absolutely, yes.
Is there a second to that motion? There is. Thank you very much. Does anybody wish to be heard on the motion to amend in front of us? We'll be actually amending Article 4, and as town council explained, our bylaws allow us to do that, as long as town meeting is still in session. I see no hands. Does the hall require me to read it one more time, fear? No. All those in favor of the motion that Mr. Keller made, signify by raising your hands. All those opposed, it's yet another unanimous vote. Would any town official who was just elected, and your position will not be taking effect until the end of town meeting this evening, so at the end of town meeting, can you approach the town clerk, and she will be glad to swear you in. So if you are an elected or a newly appointed official, please come forward and see the town clerk to get sworn in as soon as we adjourn. Article 44, Taj Godzak.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I'm Taj Godzak, and I live on Barber Road. Do I need to make a motion to move in the words of the article?
That would be great.
I so do.
Moved in the word of the articles. Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Godzak.
Thank you. Like many here tonight, I have enjoyed the discussions last week and those past three nights, and I've enjoyed the different perspectives and the diversities of opinions that our neighbors have shared, and it's made me proud to be a Sudbury resident. And with that, I'd like to move to my presentation. Next slide, please. The petitioners are proposing to expand to a board of five. And as it says in your warrant article, I think Sudbury is a town that values its diversity. And we believe that a board of five would be more likely to see that diversity reflected. Also, with a board of five, we will have increased representation. In 371 years, Sudbury has grown from a town of 130 residents to over 17,000, but we still have three selectmen. Thirdly, I think expanding to a board of five will allow some committees to have selectmen representation. Regularly, I see the three selectmen here at our town meetings, and I know it could be quite taxing for them to attend them. I think with a committee of five, you'll be able to divide and conquer a little bit better and tackle over the 92 departments and committees that we have. If you break it down, it's roughly 30 per selectman. With five, we'll be able to get that number to a more manageable number. Fourthly, I believe three selectmen is a difficult number to manage. As my example up on the screen shows, if one member is out of town, we have a two-person meeting. And if we have one member out of town and another one on medical leave, it could quite possibly be that we have no meeting. And as we've all voted, we are now have a $78 million budget, and this is becoming quite a complex organization. And we have three volunteers. I think with five volunteers, we'd be able to tackle the diversities of the different issues that we've been discussing last week and this week. And finally, next slide, please. We need to look no further to our neighboring towns to see who has already transitioned to five selectmen. And I think it was in the Boston Globe that they mentioned that all of our neighboring towns, except for two, have moved to five selectmen, one of those being Lincoln that hasn't, and I know they recently proposed to move to five selectmen. And in the final slide, we see it's just not our neighboring towns, but there's 135 towns across the Commonwealth that have moved to five selectmen. And with that, I hope we can have a lively discussion on this one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Marty Raganes for the Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee takes no position on this article.
Selectman?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Excuse my voice. The John, Board of Selectmen.
John, you may want to move that mic a little closer.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Selectmen opposed this article, not because it's a good idea or a bad idea, but the premise in part that the Board of Selectmen is overworked and stretched thin is incorrect. When I was first elected to the board back in 1986, under the executive secretary form of government, the board met every Monday night and every other Monday night during the summer. We were a truly hands-on board at that time. Under the Town Manager Act form of government, we now meet every other Tuesday and maybe two or three times during the summer. Our workload is clearly not the same. Our town functions extremely well, and the board now acts as a board of directors, setting policy and doing strategic planning. Of course, we still do day-to-day tasks, but clearly the town manager has the collective bargaining, day-to-day operations, contracting, committee, staff, commission, public safety, and resident interaction now. The proposal to change from three to five selectmen has been presented at five previous town meetings. That's correct, five previous town meetings. In 1961, 1970, 1974, 1979, and 2000. Each time the motion to go from three to five has failed, and each time the then sitting Board of Selectmen were opposed to change. Not because the idea doesn't have merit, not because it was not a good idea, but the change was not warranted because our form of governance was very, very successful. I would also point out that many of these previous proposals were the result of public involvement process, such as a government committee or charter commission. This petition went through no such public outreach process. Perhaps other items we could evaluate, like forming a sewer district, evaluating bringing the Board of Health under the Board of Selectmen, or other things that we could do with our charter that we may want to think about. In fact, during my years of service, which I am extremely grateful for all the voters of Sudbury, the three selectmen form of government has resulted in a Sudbury that is successful, a strong, viable community, financially strong, extremely well-respected in the state, and a model for education throughout the Commonwealth. The three-member board has focused on the greater good by doing what is best for Sudbury, not with political infighting as some of our surrounding communities do. In 1979, the warrant report on this topic stated three major reasons for keeping the three-member board. And I must admit, I smiled at the first two. Fewer members mean less talk, and less talk means greater efficiency. Second, the selectmen involved enough in town affairs already, and adding more selectmen simply means they'll be able to meddle more. And finally, which I do agree, the three-member board has worked for over 200 years, and why change now? In 2000, the warrant stated that the three-member board has allowed Sudbury government to respond effectively to changing needs and demands of Sudbury residents. That is still true today. After more than 200 years of governance, the three-member board, working in collaboration with town administrator, school committees, boards, commissions, committees, and residents, has made Sudbury a vibrant, financially strong, desirable place to raise a family, and a desirable place to retire. Sudbury is one of the top 10 communities in the Commonwealth. What we really need to do is reinforce and preserve our correct collective sense of a place we call Sudbury. Please vote no.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 44? Yes, sir.
Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. This is the classic, if it ain't broke, don't fix it case. There is no reason that I see why we should take this action at this particular time. The idea that we'd get greater diversity, whatever that means in this context, would almost have to be based on the premise that people are running for selectmen that are qualified for the job and not getting elected. And yet, if you look at the last N selectmen's elections, you'll see that the office is hardly ever contested. Now, where are we going to get the other two people that are willing to make this commitment to serve the town and are qualified to do it? As far as the idea that because surrounding towns have done it, that means that we should too. I suggest you talk to some of your friends in Wayland and see how happy they are with their form of government. I think you'll get an earful.
Thank you. Did someone have his or her hand up way back there? Could you stand up, please? Oh, right here. We have a mic. You have it. Go right ahead. No.
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry about that. My name is Elliot Bell Krasner. I've been a Sudbury resident for 11 years now.
What's your address, sir?
65 Goodmans Hill Road. This is actually just the second time that I've spoken at one of these things, and unfortunately I missed the first town meeting earlier last week. But I think this is important, and if I may take some of the words in 1979, I believe, that were cited by the current Board of Selectmen, that less talk means more gets done. I would actually have to disagree with that, respectfully. I think that there is something to be said for a diversity of opinions. More people speaking often can result in more opinions, and I actually think that before the Board of Selectmen votes on anything, no matter what it is, no matter if it's controversial or not, you need to hear from as many people as possible. The idea that, just because we can't find two more people to run, the fact that it's not contested doesn't mean that that will always be the case. Maybe it's because there are only three members of the board that people decide not to run because they don't think that they'll have as much of a chance. I think, actually, expanding the board would make it more competitive, would potentially lead to more candidates. In all honesty, I think that the more you hear, the more you have to consider certain things. I'm sure it can run smoothly now, but, I looked at that list of towns, with the five member boards, and one of them actually was Tingsboro, which I'm researching right now, that has, I believe, a population of 2,000 or 3,000. And we have a population of 17,000. And I think it was pointed out that we've always been a three-member board going back 371 years. And, as a avid fan of change, I believe that the change is ready for this town, and I believe that this town could use a few more voices, and I would certainly appreciate a few more people being heard on the board to debate these important issues. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, just a clarification of the record. The board, the hall should know that in the late 1700s, so it's 1760 to 1770, there were actually seven members of the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen went to three members approximately around 1790. So in the past, we did have more.
Yes. Please stand up. Can someone bring the mic, sir? You just got yourself a job, sir. No.
He says, wait a second. Is it working now?
Yes, it is. Can you hang on 1 second? Can I have a volunteer to bring that mic over on that side of the audience? So it should be someone from this side. Show of hands, please. Ah, you're volunteering. Thank you very much. You can grab the mic when she finishes and figure out which is on and which is off.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my name is Elaine Barnard Goldstein, and I live at 40 Indian Ridge Road. And I have a question, which is, have any of the boards or the offices felt that there was a delay in any of the in getting the selectmen's attention, which would indicate that we do need more selectmen? Is it possible to address that question at this point?
Who would you like? What various boards you'd like to hear from?
Well, I was wondering if there's anybody who is a member of a board who feels that their board was delayed unnecessarily.
There's a gentleman from the Board of Appeals up front here, if you could stand up. Coming right at you.
Hello?
Yep.
My name is Jonathan Gossels. I'm on the Zoning Board of Appeals. We've always found the selectmen to be highly attentive, and we are never delayed.
You know of no delay. Is that what you...
I know of no delay.
I couldn't hear it, so I just want to report it to the hall.
I'll try one more time. I've been on the Board of Appeals for a long time. The selectmen are always very attentive, and I know of no delay.
Thank you. Any other board wish to be heard from? A board? Please.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. I was a member of the recently defunct Wayland Sudbury Septage Disposal Facility Committee, and we had, as has been alluded to in earlier meetings, a good deal of legal and difficulties, and we were dealing with another town because we're a member of a regional group, and we found our selectmen to be extremely attentive, extremely helpful. And we could not have asked for them to help us out and make our job easier than they did.
Thank you. Gentleman from the planning board, who's polling his board.
Michael Fee, chairman of the planning board. We just took a quick vote, and the planning board opposes this article.
Can you... Actually, the question was, have you experienced delays in dealing with a three-member Board of Selectmen?
We have not.
You have not. Is that a unanimous vote of the planning board?
It is.
Thank you. Any other boards? I'm just going to go one or two more, and then we'll be done. We have a board here.
Oh,
it's Mr. Ryan from Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School.
Mr. Moderator, thank you. I can actually address the hall in two capacities. One is a member of the almost past member of the Lincoln Sudbury School Committee, and also as chairman of the Lincoln Sudbury Building Committee. And I can tell you the Building Committee had to have significant involvement with the Board of Selectmen during the construction of this building, with or without the center aisle. And I had to get that in before somebody else did. I think there are probably members of the building committee here who would support me, but I think there would be a unanimous belief on the part of the building committee, as well as the Lincoln Sudbury School Committee, that we had absolutely no delays whatsoever at all in dealing with the Board of Selectmen during the construction of this building. In fact, there was one time I had to appear before the Board of Selectmen with respect to the construction of the building and found that they were actually more prepared than I was. I think I got myself into trouble on something. During the years I have served on the Finance Committee, the years I served on the School Committee, and the years I served on the Building Committee, I've found no delay whatsoever.
Thank you. Okay, I think we've answered the question. Was there a hand up back there? Someone who wishes, could you stand up, please?
Bill Cooper, Cedar Creek Road. When the hall is thinking about the advisability of a three-man Board of Selectmen versus a five-man Board of Selectmen, one of the other factors that I think that you should consider is the relative responsiveness of the 3 to the 5 number when it comes up to a town election at one wants to make a change in the Board of Selectmen. With a three-member board, the impact of one-member change each year is going to be much more significant than trying to get two members to change on a five-member board in most years. And I think that is a very compelling factor in looking at the focus of responsibility on the Board of Selectmen, and is it much to the town's advantage in maintaining a three-member Board of Selectmen.
Mr. Cooper, would your comments apply equally if that was a five-person board instead of a five-man board?
Absolutely. Senior moment, I guess.
Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 44? Yes, ma'am. Could you stand, please? Can we get a mic over here, please?
Robin Gunderson, 95 Fox Run. I'm just thinking of the time when we're asking our town leaders and our school leaders to cut, to be as nimble and as quick as they possibly can. This article feels out of alignment with that approach to business. I'm wondering how many times in the last couple of centuries the three-person board has failed to meet because someone's out of town or ill or there's flooding or something, or had only two of the three meet. I'm wondering what that impact has been. And I'm also wondering if there's been any study around the financial impact of this change and the impact on staff.
Okay, let's see if we can answer those questions. John.
I can't talk about the last couple of centuries. But you know, since being on the board, I can't recall any meeting that has been canceled because of non-participation of board members. There have been times board meetings have been canceled. That's been due to weather or other issues. The financial impact is actually, on the board would be limited, but I don't know what the impact on town services. At one time, the Board of Selectmen did get paid. The chairman got $1,500, and the other board members got $1,000. But in the budget crisis in 1990, yours truly, amongst other board members, we eliminated our salary, and we do actually volunteers. I think from a staff perspective, I don't know, Mark, if you could comment what the impact would be on five members versus there's more Xeroxing, more paper, more staff time, perhaps?
He said.
It's just more when you're dealing with five individuals, with three individuals, it's care and feeding of the Board of Selectmen. We are, even though we are three white males, we are very diverse individuals, and we each have different needs and desires that we require from the town manager. And we each have our own areas of expertise that we bring to the function of town governance.
Ma'am, does that answer your question?
So what I'm hearing is that there really hasn't been any impact study. We don't know the financial impact, and we don't know the impact on staff.
Okay.
So
that's correct.
That's a limit to the amount of knowledge we have as voters, and I would urge the hall to defeat this.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, could you stand up, please? Can we get a mic over there?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Bob Hardy, 37 Belcher Drive. I support this article. The selectmen are volunteers. I think having more people involved in helping out the town would be good for Sudbury. This is a relatively low-cost measure. We're not voting to buy anything, spend any money. We are voting to ask more people to step up and help the town of Sudbury. I think we need to move past the point in time where we look at things which may be politically advantageous or disadvantageous to any particular person or board. As a future member of the Board of Selectmen, this particular article would dilute my responsibility from 33% down to 20%, but I think it would be good for the town. And I support it. Sudbury has a wealth of talent, a wealth of amazing, sharp, brilliant people. And if we could just tap into a small percentage of that talent and engage them to work with us to enhance our property tax base, to work with the community and help build consensus towards what we need to get done in Sudbury, to work with the business district along Route 20, to put in a sewer district to help the businesses along Route 20. All the things that we need to do to get done in the town, to if we could get more people, if we could get a five-member board of selectmen to work with these different committees. I know in Article 25 this year, a member of the planning board stood up and said that he wasn't consulted by the board of selectmen. I'm sure that doesn't happen very often. But if we could have more members of the Board of Selectmen to work with the 92 committees and departments that we have to get our cost centers working together. We have five. We've got the SPS, the town government, the LS, the water district, the police, the fire, the DPW. We've got multiple cost centers in town. And if we could have more people, more talented, brilliant people working together to help those cost centers work together to save money, and benefit the town of Sudbury, that would be a good thing. And I support this article, and I urge its passing. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Can you stand up, please? Right here.
Jennifer Pincus, 25 Blueberry Hill Lane. As Mr. Coe mentioned, you should ask the people of Wayland how it's working. I'm wondering whether, other than Mr. Coe, anybody knows how it's working in any of these other towns.
You have an answer to the question, sir? Okay. You have an answer to the question, ma'am?
Good evening. Kirsten Rapenny in 45 Harness Lane. Having been one of three and been on the board when there was an attempt to change from three to five where it failed, one of the things that I see tonight, we talk a lot about transparency and open discussions, and I'm a little bit bewildered as to why this article was brought forward without any process towards understanding the consequences, unintended or otherwise, for a change to our town charter, which is a pretty big deal. If you want to know what's going on in Wayland, one of the problems that happened in Wayland, and this is something that I've heard as a selectman when I was on the board, when they do have five people, they tend to polarize, and they polarize the town and the community, and that's not something that Sudbury's all about. It never has been, and hopefully it never will be. We'd like to have a town that's diverse, that has open and honest discussions, and in order to do that, this particular article was not thoroughly vetted, and it did not receive open and honest discussions because we didn't have the chance to talk about it. So I think there needs to be more discussion and analysis before we bring it forward. And the town deserves, I think, to, if we're going to make such a huge change in our charter, that it needs to be much more processed than it was at this point. So I urge your defeat.
Thank you. Ma'am, I'm going to try and get an answer to that question. It's not an easy question to answer. Sir, were you the one, Mr. Coe, who made the comment that asked Wayland? If so, do you have a definitive idea of what Wayland's reaction to five selectmen is?
With the question phrased that way, I don't know. But I do know that people from Wayland that I worked with on the Septage Committee indicated that they thought that Sudbury was better governed than Wayland. Now, that's anecdotal, and it's unofficial, and I certainly don't presume to speak for anybody in Wayland. But certainly I did get the feeling that the people that served on that committee from Wayland were a good deal less happy with their town government than the people from Sudbury who served on that committee.
Thank you. That's the best I can do, ma'am. Sir, you want to come right up here? There's a mic coming right to you.
Bruce Langer, 9 Bentbrook Road. I've lived in town since 1963, so you might say I'm history also, but point is that there have been several times it's been very difficult to get even three selectmen to run for the office. Having been asked at least two times to do it for myself, I'm firsthand acquainted with that.
Anyone else wish to be? Excuse me? The question has been called. It's been seconded. Who would like to speak and add something new? There's one hand. Could you please keep that in mind when you're voting on the call of the question? All those in favor of calling the question signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, it's well more than two-thirds. The question is before us. Before we vote on this article, I'm going to beg you, please stay for 10 more minutes after this we vote, because we're on to the last article, which is a resolution, and shouldn't take more than 10 minutes. And whoever is the petitioner would like you all to stay. Thank you. So we're now going to move on, move in the words of the article, which essentially is to increase the Board of Selectmen from 3 to 5, plus all the other things that you see in your warrant. All those in favor of that motion signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it's way more than a majority. It is defeated. Article 45, could the petitioner come forward, please, right away? Is the petitioner... great. Thank you all for staying.
Pat Brown, 34 Whispering Pine Road. Move to indefinitely postpone. Pat Brown, 34 Whispering Pine Road. Move to indefinitely postpone Article 45.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ma'am?
Okay. Article 45, as you see it before you, is another citizen resolution. That is, it's non-binding. And so we are steps ahead of the game. The Board of Selectmen has gone ahead and on April 5th has approved the following two policies regarding executive session minutes. The first one is, it is hereby declared the policy of the Board of Selectmen that approval of minutes of executive sessions of the Board shall provide for subsequent review of said minutes to determine whether the purpose of the executive session still exists. At a meeting of the Board within 90 days of the one-year anniversary of the approval of said executive session minutes, and annually thereafter until released. The second, it is hereby declared the policy of the Board of Selectmen that all meetings of the Board, including those consisting of executive session only, in addition to being posted as required by statute, shall be posted on the town website in the same manner as regular meetings of the Board. In establishing this policy, the Board is mindful that its practice of posting of meeting notices on the town website is not a legal requirement, nor a condition precedent to holding any particular meeting, but rather a practice of this Board for the convenience of the public. And I wanted to thank the Board of Selectmen for adopting these policies. There's no reason to vote on it, so I request we indefinitely postpone. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the FinCom wish to make a statement?
FinCom takes no position on this.
Would the Selectman like to make a statement?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Selectmen support the indefinite postponement, and thank Ms. Brown for the civic activity.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on this motion to indefinitely postpone the resolution? I see no hands. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, it is unanimous. Mr. Keller, do I have a motion to dissolve the 2010 annual town meeting?
Yes, so moved.
Is there a second? There is. All in favor signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes overwhelmingly. Thank you all very much. This meeting is adjourned and dissolved.